Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. Sam Britton here. It is a Monday, July 31st, right at the very tail of July at the time I'm recording this, and it is hot outside as of the time we're recording this. I don't think most of you living anywhere in the heartland of the United States need to be told that. But it's a good day for sun tea if some of you have never done sun tea before. If you can get you a jug that's clear, not a tinted jug, fill it full of water and get some either some tea bags or some tea balls. Set that thing outside in the sun and in a nice spot where the sun's going to be at it all day. You might be surprised at what you'll come up with. So that's the little hint from here. My wife Trish does that every day and it comes out really, really good. It's amazing what happens when you make sun tea. It's a different experience all its own. So anyway, that's the deal there. And that's something that can be tried anywhere where you have a lot of sun, and particularly when it's nice and warm like it is today. Okay, now that's somewhat off the subject, because what we're going to get into today is more on voice over IP. But we're going to do something a little different today. As you know, we've talked about some of the various providers out there, like Skype, like Free World Dial-Up, and there are other ones. There's another one called Voxalot, which is another free service that I'm currently exploring. It's www.voxalot.com if you would like to explore and maybe even sign up for an account on that. But if you do, you might want to wait till you hear this report on the way you would set up a device to work with it before you sign up. But nevertheless, the service is out there, and it's another way that you can keep in touch. Another provider, very much like Free World Dial-Up, except they're based in Australia. Now, the purpose of this report here is not to promote yet another provider. We've done a lot of providers. There's free ones out there all over the place if you're willing to look. But one of the things we're going to talk about today is some interesting ways you can do voice over IP without a provider. Now, it takes certain software slash or hardware to make this happen, and what we're going to do today is focus on the hardware. And the hardware we're going to focus on is the Sipura line of telephone adapters. That's S-I-P-U-R-A, otherwise known as Sipura.com, if you'd like to go to their website. Now, the Sipura hardware adapter is a particularly interesting adapter in that for a piece of hardware, it offers you a lot of freedom. Now, freedom is not something that we're used to in so many areas. We're taught that, well, you have to sign up with a service provider to do voice over IP and that kind of thing. And it's nice having the free ones out there. But when you have somebody else providing the service, one of the problems is that if the service goes down, you're not able to make calls during the time that service is down. Now, I'm happy to say that the one that we've discussed here, Free World Dial-Up, is usually pretty good. They've had some hurdles since I did my last report in that they did an upgrade. And, you know, sometimes upgrades, they'll throw everything into the tank. And they have had their share of problems, but they're pretty much ironing them out. And we've been involved in alerting them to some of them, and they've fixed them. Last night, I alerted them to the fact their sign-up page wasn't working, and they fixed it within an hour, and it was after midnight. So that should go to show you just how fast they get on stuff over there. I don't know too much about Voxalot yet because I just signed up with it and I've been playing with it, but that's about as far as it's gotten. And we're going to do some more on some interesting interties between providers and how it all fits together in a future report, including maybe try to get Jeff Pulver from Free World Dial-Up on a future report to talk about the intricacies of voice over IP. Now, the thing you got to keep in mind, first of all, with these voice over IP providers that we've discussed, such as Free World and Voxalot and others like them, in the case of at least these two providers, these are what's called a voice over IP playground. In other words, this is where the people go who want to experiment. You know, normally you sign up with a service, whether you're running Skype or whether you sign up with a paid service. They set the terms of how things are going. Usually when you sign up with a paid service such as BroadVoice or some other provider, they send you an adapter. And by the way, it's a Sipura that they send to you too. when you sign up for BroadVoice, and some of the other ones use the Sapura line as well. But what they do is they lock the adapter so that you can't get in and tinker with them. And for the average user, maybe for good reason, because if you don't know what you're doing, you could screw things up only to call them up and tie up their tech support line with tons of issues that have to be resolved. So it's probably better for a lot of people that these devices are locked when they're sent from the providers. But these other providers, such as Free World Dial-Up and Voxalot, are playgrounds, electronic voice over IP playgrounds. This is where the experimenters go, as well as people who just want to keep in touch and get their friends and families online. But the difference is that with these providers, if you're going to remain in the free realm, you're going to have somebody else with a device. Okay? Now, let's enter direct IP dialing into the picture. What is direct IP dialing? Okay? This is where the Sapura is going to come in a few minutes, because we're going to spend a little time here talking about direct IP dialing. Did you know that you can do direct IP dialing to another user without a service provider? Now, that may seem strange at first, but let me explain to you how it works. If a person has an adapter that supports such a thing, or a piece of software that supports such a thing and supports editing of dial plans and has speed numbers where you can enter in odd combinations through the web interface, you can do what's called direct IP dialing. Now, as in the case with the Sapura, which is a telephone adapter that you plug a standard telephone into, you cannot do direct IP dialing direct from the telephone interface. But if you have a computer, which is, if you're going to be in these services, you almost have to have a computer, even if you have a telephone adapter, because that's where you can do some of your most interesting programming. You almost have to have a computer to really make things work to their fullest potential with these adapters. Now, that doesn't mean the computer has to be on, because obviously the computer doesn't have to be on for the Sapura telephone adapters to work. But the computer just has to be the means by which you can log in and introduce some extra characters into the speed dial slots on these devices that otherwise could not be entered from the keypad. Okay? So now let's talk about IP dialing. IP dialing, direct IP dialing, is where one person assigns either in their software a user ID, but they're not necessarily affiliated with a provider. They can be. Like in my case, I'm affiliated with Free World Dial-Up, but I'm set up in such a way where you can call me directly using my IP address. For example, if you want to call my studio line using my direct IP address, you would go into your software, if your software supports this, or a piece of hardware, such as the Sapura telephone adapters, and we'll get into those in just a minute, and you would put into the speed slot, the speed dial slot, the following numbers. Now, first of all, the studio line that we have here for the radio station, or for the radio talk show, is 671208. That's my Free World Dial-Up number. Okay, but let's say you don't want to go through Free World. You want to get rid of as much junk between you and me as possible. Well, the way you would do this is you would have to know my IP address and the port number that my adapter is serving on, which I can set up my adapter to serve on any port I choose as long as it doesn't conflict with any other programs that are running on my router or on my IP address. So in this case, I have my adapter, the studio line to my adapter, set on port 5061, okay? So here's how you would enter my number so you could direct call me without a service provider. You would go into the speed dial slot of existing software program, if it supports it, and you would enter 671208 @ and then 216.229.66.172:5061. That's 671208, then the @, then 216.229.66.172:5061. Now, let's enter the Sapura telephone adapter into this, and we'll come back to this in just a moment, but I just wanted to whet your appetite to the fact that calls can be made without a service provider. Okay. Now, the Sapura series of adapters are hardware devices. These are devices that come with two, usually on most Sapuras, there's two telephone line ports to plug in standard telephones. And the job of the Sapura telephone adapters is to convert any signal from any standard telephone into a signal that can be delivered out over the internet so you can make internet-based telephone calls. Now, the adapters that we're going to deal with here is the 2100 series adapters, because they are probably the best of the lot at a reasonable price from Sapura. They're a nice, clean, quiet adapter. The audio is absolutely superb on them. And the, as I stated earlier in the report here, the Sapuras offer you so much flexibility, it's not even funny for a hardware device. You know, usually we think of flexibility being in most of the soft phones that we run on computers, but we don't think of a whole lot of flexibility in a hardware device. We'll enter the Sapura 2100 into the picture. The Sapura 2100 is a box maybe about the size of a small pocket, a Bible or something like that, that has, you know, a print Bible, a pocket print Bible we're talking about. And it has two Ethernet ports, a power port for a 5-volt adapter that powers it, and then two telephone line ports where you plug two different telephones into. The telephone lines, for the most part, can be configured independently as far as the different providers. You can have one provider on one line and one provider on another. There are certain set of features that are regional across the entire adapter, but they're not pertinent usually to having, you know, to cause, you know, in other words, they don't cause you problems as far as having two different providers. Let's put it that way. Such regional parameters would include dial tone frequency, dial tone loudness, ring loudness, audio loudness. Yes, there are settings to raise and lower the audio volume in the Sapura adapters. But nevertheless, these audio settings change both lines at the same time. Okay, and there are other parameters. There's the type of ring voltage, the ring voltage frequency, the and then there's the call waiting frequencies. Just tons of stuff you can change on these, and we're not going to get into all of these parameters today. Basically, out of the box, the Sapura is a pretty good device, just set up in its default configuration, other than entering in your provider, and if you want a provider or any other, you know, in other words, depending upon how you want to use them is how you would set it up in the default. But basically what we're going to do, we're just going to get you started so you can get one of these going if you decide you want to mess with one of these. And the first scenario we're going to deal with is setting one up for Free World Dial-Up, because Free World Dial-Up is right here in the States. And you can substitute providers, you know, by entering in their provider information into these adapters. You know, there may be a little bit of difference in the various proxy settings because each provider does it a little differently. But basically, we're going to give you a brief overview of how you would set one of these devices up. So let us suppose you sign up for Free World Dial-Up. You've tried a soft phone, and I know one gentleman, Danny, who has tried a version of their phone program called Pulver Communicator, and he said it works well. In fact, he's called me on it, and it works very well. But it's, you know, you're dealing with some interface issues and stuff like that. So I got to talking to Danny, and I told him, I said, get you a Sapura 2100. I said, you can just plug any phone into that. And I said, you'll be as readily available as you would be as far as any phone around the house. Because you just plug a phone into it or a series of phones. I think the Sapuras will handle up to five of these electronic ring type telephones. And so anyway, he ordered one. And so anyway, I walked him through setting it up, and after setting him up, I thought, well, maybe I ought to do a report on this. And so anyway, that's what led us to here. Okay. Now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about what comes in the box when you order the Sapura 2100, which, by the way, I will provide a link in the documentation accompanying this report where you can order these things if you'd like to go get one. Okay. When you take the Sapura out of the box, you will have the following. You will have the Sapura telephone adapter. You will have an Ethernet cable. And you will have the power adapter. Those will be the three items that will be in the box when you order it. Now, the Sapura, as I mentioned to you, has two Ethernet ports. If you set the Sapura adapter on the table in front of you with the ports facing the rear, the Ethernet port closest to the rear of the adapter, or closest to the rear, closest to the left edge of the adapter, that is, with it sitting on the desk, pointing, you know, with the ports away from you, the leftmost port on the rear panel is the port where you would plug in your computer and everything, because this thing has a firewall built into it, okay? It has its own NAT and firewall set up in, built right into it, so you can use this thing as a combination telephone adapter and a firewall. Now, as you move to the right, the next port, the Ethernet port that's closer to where you plug in the power, is the port that you would plug your incoming internet signal into. That's called the WAN port. And so you want to plug in your incoming Ethernet connection from your router, if it's through a router, or from your DSL modem or cable modem or whatever you have into that port. Next, of course, would be your power adapter, a couple of indicator lights, and then your lines 1 and 2. And if I remember correctly, I think line 1 is nearest the right edge of the adapter and line 2 is in closer to where the power and the indicator lights on the back are located. Now, again, this is assuming you have the adapter sitting on the table with the ports on the rear away from you, okay, because that's considered the back of the adapter. Okay, so you get your adapter out of the box, you plug in the 5-volt power supply, and you plug in your Ethernet cable, which supplies the internet signal to the adapter, and then we want to start commencing into configuring the adapter. So what you want to do is then plug your computer into the NAT port, that's the one closest to the left edge of the adapter. Then reboot your computer, and the web address you want to go into to get into its web interface is the following. You open your web browser and you go to 192.168.0.1. That is going to take you to the Sapura's web interface. Now, the web interface in the Sapura adapter has two levels. It has basic and advanced. And in addition to basic and advanced, it has the admin login link where you can log in as administrator. Now, since you've ordered an unlocked adapter, you're going to want to go into the admin page. So when you get in there, the first thing you want to do is look for the link that says admin login, and you click on that, and that'll take you into the admin. Once you get in there, then you want to click voice, okay, and then click advanced. So you're going to go through a series of pages. You're going to go in, you're going to go into admin, then you're going to go into voice, then you're going to go into advanced. And once you're in advanced, then a whole world of stuff opens up to you. Now, let us suppose we want to set up with our with a free world dial-up account, and we want to set up on line 1. So once we're in the advanced tab, we're going to go to the line 1 tab. And so click on the line 1 tab. And by the way, you have to have JavaScript enabled to make this work, because these pages work with JavaScript. If you have JavaScript turned off, you can't navigate this device, okay? So anyway, once in there, once in the advanced and once in the voice, you click on the line 1 tab. And then there's two pop-up buttons that you'll want to change, two menus that you'll want to change. The first one is NAT mapping enabled, and you want to set that to yes. That will default to no when the thing is first powered up with no programming having been done to it. So set that to yes. And that will be about the second thing over. The first thing you run into is something you don't even want to fool with. There's a thing that says line enabled. It'll default to yes. Then there'll be SAS enabled, as they call it, which is a music on hold thing. That you want to leave to no. And we're not even going to get into that feature because that's for more elaborate stuff for right now. But then after you get past all of that and the parameters for that, you'll see NAT mapping settings, and there'll be a little pop-up that'll say NAT mapping enabled. You'll change that to yes. Then the next one you will change is NAT keep alive enabled, and you want that to yes. Okay, so that'll be the first thing that you will do before you ever enter in any information. Now the next thing we will do is we'll go down to the proxy settings. So you want to go down. In fact, I'm going to log into mine now because I'm at this point where I need to walk you through. Let me go down and log into mine. Let me go down. We'll go into Safari here. And, of course, I have the advanced tab already bookmarked in my browser, so I don't have to go through all them other pages. You may want to do the same thing because you can administrate everything from the advanced. You don't need to have the basic bookmarked or anything. So, okay, let me. Okay, let's click on line one, and we'll go down. All those user one, user two, let's not even worry about those right now. Let's just leave them at their defaults. You know, those are links that you can go in to change user parameters. And those would be, if it were with a service provider, you could go in. That's the level that the service providers leave open for the users, but they lock the advanced out where we are right now. Line enabled, yes, we talked about that. Whoops, I popped up a menu. Let's get out of that. Streaming audio server SAS, it says. And you want that left? No, we talked about that. Okay, we'll leave these parameters alone. All having to do with this SAS thing. NAT settings. NAT mapping enabled? Yes. NAT keep alive enabled? Yes. Now we're going to go down. Okay, now one thing I want to mention that I forgot to mention in the outset there before going down to the proxy settings, network jitter level, okay? I set mine to very high. You may want to experiment with this. It's a pop-up menu, just like the pop-up menus for the NAT, keep alive, and all that kind of stuff. And it has, let me go over to it. Hang on. Mine's extremely high, but I'll give you the choices. Let me go down at the bottom. Low, medium, high, very high, extremely high. Now, I'll tell you why I leave mine at extremely high. It allows the adapter to adjust itself according to the net conditions. For example, if you're on the line and you're talking to somebody, and let's say there's a little bit of congestion, well, rather than you hearing all that congestion, rather than hearing all that with garbled voice and everything else, the adapter will adjust to a certain extent to try to buffer that stuff out. It'll adjust. Your latency might increase a little bit. In other words, the time you say something into the microphone to the time the other party hears it. But you will still be able to talk and be intelligible, as opposed to keeping it very low and then the net congestion comes in and it just either cuts you off or makes your audio so unintelligible that you can't hardly understand each other. So I set mine to extremely high and let the adapter take care of itself as far as network jitter. So you do what you want, but that's where I keep mine, okay? Jitter buffer adjustment up and down. Now, I leave that alone because that adjusts it all across the board. That adjusts the jitter level coming from you to the internet, and it also adjusts the jitter level coming back from the internet to you. You can have it only... You can pop it up, and it'll allow you to have jitter buffer adjustment for the downside only. That's the side coming to you, or the upside only, which is the side going out from you to the other party. or you can have it set to both, and that's where I keep it, up and down both. So in other words, it takes care of the that other setting we just dealt with, network jitter level. This parameter controls what that other parameter affects. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if you don't have that one set right, it's not going to affect everything across the board, okay? So, now that we've gotten past that, everything else remains the same. Support. We don't change anything. We don't change the SIP port, the SIP port, unless there's very special reasons, and they default to 5060, 5061. Line 1 defaults to 5060. Line 2 defaults to 5061. So, we'll leave those alone. Okay, leave all these alone. These are for other services and stuff that require specialized parameter settings.
EXT support.
We'll just skip all this stuff. Now we're at proxy and registration. Okay, that's the next field that you want to look for. Now let us suppose you've signed up with a Free World dial-up account. Okay, now this is where you put in the information for Free World as far as what proxy servers it that your adapter is going to line up to receive Free World calls. So, proxy and registration. In the proxy field, you put FWD, all lowercase, FWD dot Pulver, P-U-L-V-E-R dot com, all lowercase, FWD dot Pulver dot com. Okay, so put that in that field. Now let's move to the next proxy setting, which will be outbound proxy.
Use outbound proxy.
Use outbound proxy?
No.
I have mine set to no because my adapter's straight out on the internet. If you're behind a router, you might want to put yes. So that's a pop-up menu. So change that to the appropriate setting. If you're behind a router, you might want to set it to yes. Okay. Now, regardless whether I have mine set to on or off, I always put Free World Dial-Up's outbound proxy in the outbound proxy field, which is next.
Outbound proxy.
Okay, outbound proxy is the following, and it's all lowercase, FWD N as in Nancy, AT dot Pulver dot com. That's FWD NAT dot Pulver dot com colon, and then the port number 5082. So in this outbound proxy field, you put FWD NAT dot Pulver dot com colon 5082. Okay. And you can experiment once you get those fields filled in and save the changes. You can experiment with whether you need that proxy or not, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. Okay. Next box. Our next pop up menu. Use outbound proxy in dialog, or it'll say OB proxy in dialog is what it says for abbreviation. Use OB proxy in dialog. Mine's set to no because I have my proxy set to no. So that's how that works. Okay. Now let's move on to the next field.
Register. Yes, pop-up button.
And my UPS just came on. We're on low voltage because of the air conditioners today. So let's hope it switches away from the batteries pretty quick here because I'm running on it. And I got two computers running on it. So anyway. Okay, register should be set to yes after you get past that proxy stuff. Now, in this case, though, we're going to make one change different. It says make call without reg, without registration. In my case, I set mine to yes. Normally, it would default to no, so you're going to change yours to yes, okay, because this is part of implementing the ability to do IP dialing, okay? Now, let's move to the right. Ends call or in call without reg, I have that set to yes as well. Okay.
Use DNS SRV. No pop-up button.
Leave that alone. Use DNSSRV. No, we'll leave that alone. Leave all that alone.
Proxy for vacuum pump.
3,600. Leave that alone. Leave that as its default.
Proxy and DC method. No.
Leave that at its default.
Subscriber information. Display name. Cell and trish weight of any fixed. User ID.
Okay, display name. In my case, I have Sam and Trish Britton because this is our number here. So I put our name in the display name field. Now, what that's for is these devices will transmit caller ID information, and that's where you put whatever you want seen on the other person's display when they if they have a phone that accepts caller ID, or if you have one of the caller ID devices that announces caller ID, you will want to put your display name in that field so that other people will know who's calling when you call, providing you use caller ID. I guess you don't have to put anything in it, but if you want other people to know who's calling, you could put that in there. You put your name, whatever name you want to put in there. You can put anything in there. You can put Goofy if you want in there, but what I'm trying to point out to you is it's not going to interfere with your ability to use the service, whether you have anything in there or not. So in this case, in the display name field, you'd put your name or names of you and your spouse if you share the line together. And Trish and I do, so I put Sam and Trish Britton in there. Okay, now let's move on.
461,800 user ID.
User ID. Okay, now this is not a name in this field. This is, in the case of Free World, this is where your phone number would go. So in this case, this is where my phone number would go. For example, the studio line would be 671208 on Free World, and that's where I would put that phone number. So user ID, you put your FWD phone number in there, or whatever ID you want to put in there. Even if you're doing IP dialing, there needs to be some ID in there so that the device will work with direct IP dialing. So just go ahead and put a Free World number in there if you have one.
400.
Okay. Now, the password field, this is where you put your password that was assigned to you or that you set yourself up with when you set up your Free World dial-up account. So whatever your password is to your Free World dial-up account, that's what you put in that field where it says password. Okay. And it will be masked. Different web browsers will mask it differently. Mine masks it with 4 stars.
Use auth ID.
Now, that's another type of ID which you won't be using for Free World. This is an ID field which, by the way, has to be activated. It says no pop-up button in the default settings. This is where you would put a number if you were with some service like Broad Voice or somebody like that. You would put whatever phone number they assigned to you because their system works using that use auth ID feature. Okay, so that's where you would put a number if you were with a service that used that that method of ID. Okay. Okay, I put phone numbers in both of them. I don't have it activated, but I have my Free World dial-up account number in both of them. My 671208 or my other Free World dial-up number, which is we're actually dealing with my account one. But you could put your Free World dial-up in both of them and just not activate the other one, or you don't have to have anything in the auth ID field at all. You could just leave it blank. It doesn't matter. I just chose to put it in there just because I could, and it didn't affect anything. It just, it's just there. Okay.
So
mini certificate, that is for what's called secure. That's for secure calling. In other words, you can make scrambled calls with these devices. I don't know anything about it. I've never messed with it, but you can put you can put something in that field that is the scrambled key to force your device to scramble the data coming out of it so that if anybody were to try to break into that conversation on the internet, they couldn't make heads or tails out of it. Okay, so you can do what's called secure calling with this device. Okay, now let's
blank edit fixed SRTP private key. Blank edit fixed SRTP private key.
SRTP private key, that's more that for private secure calling.
Supplementary service subscription.
Now we're at supplementary service subscription.
Call waiting, sir. Yes.
All these will be in their yes in their defaults, okay? And, you know, it's like call waiting serve, yes. Call forwarding serve, yes. Speed dial serve, yes. And you can either have these features or not have them. You can turn them all on and off from here so that they're not even accessible from the user interface on the telephone. Now, this is where if you had somebody, this advanced tab that we're dealing with, remember we're dealing with all these proxy settings and everything else. This is where administrators block you out of if you have an administrator administrating your adapter, okay? So you can see there's a lot of stuff in here. And they can, through what's called remote provisioning, they can provide you or deny you any feature that you, you know, that they want to based on their service platform. In this case, since this is an open adapter, you will have access to all this and you can decide what features you want activated and what you don't want to have. Now, there's tons. Let me just put it to you this way. There are absolutely tons of features in here. Everything from the regular stuff you'd find on a Bell telephone, call forwarding, call waiting, speed dial, three-way calling. Oh, man, the list goes on and on and on. Distinctive ring. You name it. The list goes on and on and on. Call waiting. Call forwarding, no answer. Call forwarding when busy. You can block callers from calling you. You can set the device to accept only calls that display their IDs. Just the list just goes on and on and on, the stuff you can do in this. And so all these parameters can be set from this field right here.
Block
call ID serve.
Block ANC serve.
And see, you got all these things here. Block ANC serve. Distinctive ring serve, yes. CFWD, yes. Let's just go down through all these. You can explore these on your own. There's tons of stuff in here. If you're not sure what they are, just leave them at their defaults. You can have three-way conference or not have it. Attendant transfer serve, you can have that if you had a device that supported it, if you had it connected with it. There's blind transfer. NWI serve, which I don't even know exactly what all of these are, even myself. I haven't played with them all yet. VMWI serve. Speed dial serve, yes. Secure call serve. Remember we talked about you can make a scrambled secure call. Referral serve. I'm not sure exactly what that does yet, but it's there. Feature dial serve, yes. I've tried it with and without, and it doesn't seem to make a difference on when I'm playing around, so I don't know. It may be for something else that we're not using here. Now, audio configuration, I would suggest leaving all of these at their defaults. Don't change anything, okay? At this point, we entered in, we activated the NAT keep alive settings, NAT mapping enabled, yes, NAT keep alive, yes. We set the network jitter level to extremely high. We set the jitter buffer adjustment up and down. In the proxy fields, we put in fwd.pulver.com in the main proxy field, and in the outbound proxy, we put fwdnat.pulver.com:5082. And in this case, we left it up to you as to which way you want to set your proxy settings. If you have a router, you want to set your outbound proxy to yes. And then there's another pop-up that says use outbound proxy in dialog, and you'll want to set that to yes if you are behind a router. If you are not behind a router, set those to no. Okay? So that's the basics on how to configure line one on a Sapura telephone adapter. Now, there is one more thing that we have left out that we have not added up till now. because we still want to do IP dialing. Well, we're not yet set to do IP dialing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down toward the bottom. Let me go down all past all these codec settings, audio codec settings, which we'll leave at their defaults. Let's just skip all of that. Leave all this stuff alone. Okay, now the next field is called dial plan. Now you can configure dial plans as to how dialing is going to be executed from the telephone's keypad. Now, we're not going to get into that in big detail today. Trust me, there are forms where you can go out. You have various Sapura users group forums where you can go out and you can find out more information on setting up a dial plan with these devices. But let's just say in their default, you can dial anything you want to dial on Free World Dial-Up, okay? So I wouldn't worry too much about a dial plan just yet. If you want a dial plan that really makes that adapter shine, you can contact me via email at the website www.theinformationcorner.com. It's www.theinformationcorner.com. In fact, I may even put a link up there and a page up there, which will have a dial plan that you can copy from the web page and paste into your Sapura's dial plan field that will support FWD and there's another service called SIPbroker.com, which allow you to dial not only through FWD, which is Free World Dial-Up, but also allow you to dial tons of other service providers all over the world. And I've got that dial plan in my adapter, and I will supply that. And all you got to do is copy that dial plan verbatim into your dial plan field on your adapter, and that will open that part up for you. Okay. And the dial plans, I will tell you this much, as far as the dial plans, they begin and end with a left parenthesis and right parenthesis. Okay, so I will tell you that. So you want to copy the entire plan you want to copy it on your computer from the web page when we get it posted, or from the email if I wind up sending you an email, because that's probably what we'll wind up doing first, because I don't have a place to on the website yet allocated to some of this stuff. And you will copy that copy that into your telephone adapter's dial plan field. And you want to first thing you want to do is delete its default dial plan, and you just backspace it out of that field, then replace it with a new dial plan that I can provide you, and you'll be up and running doing all kinds of stuff. So there's the dial plan field. We'll go past that. Okay. All right, let's just skip that for now. And we'll deal with that, you know, should you want this dial plan, I can get it to you. Okay, let's see what... Enable IP dialing, okay? This one you'll want to set to yes. So it's a pop-up menu.
Yes, pop-up.
Mine's set to yes, so set yours to yes, okay? So go ahead and change that. Set that to yes. Leave that alone. Emergency number blank. That's so you can make this thing dial 911 if you have a... You know, if you're not with a provider that provides 911 service, you can actually put a provider in there that will afford you the ability to dial 911, even if your service provider doesn't have 911 service. Leave all this alone. Okay, and what that's for, polarity, that you can have it like the old... I don't know, some of you may know quite a bit about the old public switches, the old telephone switches back in the days when you used to use, before all this electronic stuff came out, we had what was called crossbar offices and step offices, and these were old telephone exchanges. They ran in ranges like crossbar 1 through crossbar 5, and there were maybe some others that I'm leaving out, but they were there. Step offices were even the predecessors to crossbar offices, And one of the things that was interesting about a step office, if some of you are old enough to remember this, you would go and dial a call, but then after you dialed a call, one of the problems that the step offices had was back in those days, the polarity would reverse on the line after you dialed the call, and you couldn't touch tone out on the old bell-type touch-tone telephones. Well, that polarity reversal can also be used to trip certain devices to hang up, like answering machines and things like that. So in that area where the polarity is, there's all kinds of parameters you can set up for polarity reversal and things to make the adapter correspond with equipment that is sensitive to polarity reversal. Okay. But for now, we'll leave that alone because we just want to get you going in a default configuration. But I thought you'd want to know what that's for. Okay, now the next tab you want to go to is the SIP tab, otherwise known as SIP. So let's press that tab. Now, most of the parameters we'll leave alone in here. But let's... we'll go through and examine these, and we'll and I'll let you know those that you need to change. There's a couple of them you're going to need to change to help deal with direct IP dialing. And then we're going to enter one other server in one of the fields on this page. Let me go down. All right, now most of this, don't even worry about this stuff. SIP parameters, max forward.
Max redirect done, 70 edit fixed. Max redirect done, 5 edit fixed.
See, all this stuff, you just leave it its defaults.
User agent name.
SIP user agent name.
Version edit fixed.
Leave that alone.
SIP server name. Version edit fixed. SIP branch user agent name. Blank edit fixed. SIP accept language. Blank edit fixed. DTMF relay, mine done. Application / DTMF relay edit fixed. Hook / mine done.
See, all this you'll leave alone.
Last edge. No pop-up button. Use compact header. No pop-up button. Escape display name. No pop-up button. SIP timer values. SIP T1. 1.5 edit fixed.
Leave all this alone. These are timer values.
32.4 edit fixed. SIP T4. 5 edit fixed. SIP timer B. 32 edit fixed. SIP timer F. 32 edit fixed. SIP timer H. 32 edit fixed. SIP timer D. 32 edit fixed. SIP timer J. 32.
Skip all this. Skip all this. Leave all this alone. But the reason we're going through it all is because you're going to have to go down, because there's a few things at the very end of this page we're going to change, so we're working our way down there. This is all the codec settings. You leave all that alone in there.
97 edit fixed. G72640 dynamic 96 edit. G72999 edit. MSE codec name. MSE edit. APT codec name. Telephone event. G711 new codec name. PCM new edit. G711 new PCM.
Skip all this. Okay, NAT support parameters. That's where we want to start looking, okay? So let's go down through some of these.
Handle by receive. No pop-up button.
Okay, leave that alone. Handle by receive. No.
Handle by report.
Handle by report. No.
Insert by receive.
Insert by receive.
No.
Insert
by report. No pop-up button.
Insert by report. No. All these are defaults, by the way, we're dealing with here now.
Substitute by adapter.
Okay. Substitute
by adapter ADDR
ADDR substitute by ADDR. This is where we want to start making changes, okay? So go to this field, okay? Make sure you're at this field.
Safari. Yes, pop-up button.
Okay. And you want to set that to yes. Substitute by ADDR. Okay. Set that to yes.
Send rest to SRC port. Yes, pop-up button. Send rest to SRC port.
Hang on, I got to pick this apart individually because VoiceOver wants to say it differently than it.
Send RESP. RESP.
Send RESP.
To SRC.
SRC. Port. Okay, hang on, I got to get out of that. I quit interacting with that field, and we want that one set to
yes.
Stun enable. Okay, now this is where we're going to enter the stun server parameters. Now, stun server is just a server that the thing will use to adjust itself so that you don't have to adjust all the parameters manually for your router. So you want to set stun server enable.
Yes, stun enable.
Stun enable.
Yes.
Yes.
Stun
test enable.
No.
No. Okay, so stun enable, you want that to yes, and stun test enable, no. So that's how those should be set.
Stun server.
Okay, now we're going to pick this apart so you know exactly what to enter into the stun field. So you had entered the following.
S-T-U-N
dot F-W-D N-E-T dot
N-E-T
colon
3478.
Okay, so let's do that again. Let's go to the top of it, and we'll go
S-T-U-N
period, which is equals dot
F-W-D
N-E-T dot N-E-T
colon.
So there's two nets there. Stun.fwdnet dot net colon. Let me see, get the. Hang on. 3478. Okay, so let's review that one more time. Make sure you have it right because this one is really important and it's got to be done right.
STUN
dot FWD.
N-E-T
dot N-E-T
colon
3478. That's what you put in that stun field.
Safari is no longer busy.
Now the rest of that, you leave alone. Don't change a single thing. And now you want to go down to the button that says submit all changes. Or you can hit, on some browsers, you can hit the return key, which equals enter, and it'll go ahead and submit all the changes. And you should get a message when you submit the changes. It'll say, SPA is refiguring your configuration. Unit may reset. The reason they call it SPA is because these things are called the Sapura SPA 2100, 2002, 2000. There's a whole series of these things. But we're, of course, just dealing with the 2100. So whenever you hit that enter, it'll just say, SPA is configuring your configuration. Unit may reset. And then a few minutes later, you'll be back to the main page. Okay. So that's your basic parameters on setting up your adapter to work with FWD. And if there's if a person has any information that they would like to, you know, if they're still a little fuzzy on it, if any of you out there have any information, I could send you a copy of a configured page. Because you can, by the way, you can save these pages, these HTML pages out of this. You can save these to your drive and study them. So, you know, that's another thing, too. I can get you a pre-configured page that you could follow and you could just go through and set everything according to the way I have it on this page, and that way you can't go wrong. So that's nice. You can send a copy of your settings, and there's somebody out there that is currently working on a utility. I saw it up on the forums the other day when I was exploring the Sapura user group forums. I saw a person who was working on a utility up there that would allow you to not only save these configurations, but be able to load them back into your adapter. If something happened, you had to reset your adapter to default, then you could reload them back in. which would be a real nice thing, because as it is right now, if you, let's say something, your adapter gets glitched, which I've never had one do it, but just in case it ever did, there is several commands you can use to reboot the adapter. Now let's shift gears and let's get out of this and let's go to the telephone now that we've talked about configuring sometimes this voiceover says way more than it needs to be saying. So anyway, I get aggravated with it and I tell it to hush. Okay, now let's go to the phone line and we're going to access the adapter. Let me turn my audio gain down and we're going to go into the studio line. Whoops, I forgot to plug that line back in back there. So, because I was experimenting with distinctive rings. So let's get out of this. Okay, let's do this. Let me hang this up and change one more thing back here real quick. Let's do this. Let's see. Let me get back into audio hijack here real quick, and then I'm going to go make a change so we can have that line back. Let's get into audio hijack here, and I'm going to pause long enough while I run back here and plug the phone line back in on this. Okay, we're back, and let me go ahead and hide this so I don't accidentally hit any buttons and get my headset back on here. I was experimenting earlier because I'm still learning as I go along, too. I was experimenting with distinctive ring, which we can deal with that later on. Maybe if somebody wants to know more about it, we can maybe do a part two on this. But I would suggest if you guys want to really get into these adapters, back up part one of this report so you'll have it to refer back to. And then you'll have part two as a supplement down the road. But anyway, I was experimenting with learning how to set up distinctive ring. And unfortunately, with our telephone system that we have here in the house, it does not pass off distinctive ring to the telephone. So I had to plug a phone directly into it to make sure that I hit pay dirt and that it worked. So anyway, now let's go back to the drawing board. And we're going to dial the studio outbound line. And we're going to get into Sapura configuration menu, which is 4 stars.
Sapura configuration menu. Please enter option followed by the pound key or hang up to exit.
Now, if we want to know our IP address, we would go
Sapura 110.
And then we hit the pound key.
216.229.66.172 Sapura configuration menu.
If we want to know the subnet mask, we would go
1205.255.255.245.248. Sapura.
Now, if we want to know the name
menu,
server address, we would go
option followed by the pound key or hang up to exit 130.216.229.66.171.
Okay.
Sapura configuration menu. Please enter option.
And we can even get this thing's firmware. Let me see if I can get that to work.
2150.3.1.5 Sapura configuration.
You can also get its MAC address.
Enter option 140000E08ABFA4C.
Okay, now, that was all from the built-in voice response system in the Sapura adapter. That's built in. That even works even if it's not plugged into any service. Okay, that's just some of the things you can do. Now, there's a reboot parameter, which, let's say your adapter is doing something screwy and you want to force it to reboot, you would do this. You would dial, let me get into it. I have to dial an extra code because it's through our phone system. I have to dial 772, which is the trunk number for the device. Now, let's reboot the adapter. So we'll go 4 stars.
Sapura configuration menu.
And the reboot
please
command is
option followed by 7326688. Option successful. Please hang up to exit.
Okay, now the adapter is rebooting. Okay. Now, I'm going to mention one code on here that you do not want to mess with unless you are having problems that force you to set the device back to factory default. Do not, and I repeat, do not use the following code in the voice response system. Do not hit 4 stars in the following code. Do not hit 4 stars and in 73738 pound. 73738 pound dumps every single thing that you have set up in the adapter out and sets it back to factory default. This includes network data and everything else. So the device will not work unless you go in and totally reconfigure it if you hit that command. Now, it will give you one way out if you accidentally dial that command. If you dial 73738 in the voice response system and you hit the pound key, it'll say press 1 to confirm. Now, as long as you don't press 1 to confirm, you have a way out. However, if after you enter those preceding keys, if you hit the 1 key to confirm, you're done. You got to start all over again and reconfigure the thing all over again because you've already done it. You've already dumped everything out of it. So do not use that 73738 command unless you really have a reason and you know you've tried everything else to get things to work properly. Okay? So that's just some of the things you can do. Also, one other code, which is 7932, enables or disables the web interface so that if you're out on the, you know, if you have it connected directly to the internet, you may want to disable the web interface, okay? So you would go 7932 pound, and then the thing will say enter value followed by the pound key. So to disable the web interface, you would hit 0 and the pound key. And it will say, you know, it'll tell you that you were successful. And then you just hang the phone up and the thing will reboot and disable the web interface to the outside world. And see, this is another advantage to the 2100 is because if you have your computer plugged into its NAT port, which we were talking about earlier, You will have access to its web pages, but the outside world will not. Now, if you are straight out on the internet, you will want to put a probably one of the extra things you'll want to do is put a password in there. In fact, I would one of the things I forgot and left out when we first started this, I would put my password in as the very first thing before I ever configured anything else, because you don't want hackers getting in and undoing what you're trying to do. And you know, a lot of times hackers, if they see something like that, you know, they may want to mess around and mess you up or any number of things. You just never know. So you would, when you're in that advanced tab, you just click on the system tab and you'll see the password fields there. And you can enter both a username, user password, and a administrative password. It'll allow you to do both. So in fact, let's go there real quick, just so, I mean, we've covered everything else. We may as well cover that, too. Hang on. Let's go into Safari, and let's enter the thing. This is assuming now you have the, come on. Would you go into the doggone program? Thank you. Sometimes this thing has a bad habit when it's been booted for a while of you having to access everything twice. When you get to the dock, you have to hit things twice to get them to execute. And I don't know why that is, but it makes me mad. So we'll click on system. And we didn't deal with provisioning, and we're not going to right now. System configuration. This is the main configuration for the whole thing. Restricted access domains. Now, this is where a network service provider might set up one of these devices in such a way so that it only works with their service. And this is the danger of buying one through a service like BroadVoice or something like that, because one of the problems I found with the BroadVoice adapter, I did, by the way, manage to get one of their service representatives to give me the password to get into one of them. And I discovered that I could configure Free World Dial-Up on line 2, But I experimented one day. I thought, wonder if I could make Free World Dial-Up work on line one on this Broad Voice adapter, and they fix them in such a way so you can't do it. So you want to buy a purely open adapter, and that field will be blank in an open adapter. So anyway, restricted access domains, leave that alone. Enable web server, leave that alone. Don't turn that off or you'll have no way back into the adapter.
Web server port
80 is what the thing defaults to. Now, I'm using a 2000 right now. I got to order a 2100 here within the next couple of days, because I was using a Broad Voice 2100 and I sent it back to them because I didn't like the restrictions. So I ordered my own 2100 and I should have it in the next few days, but the web interfaces are pretty much the same. So anyway, with the exception of that port for the web server port may be in a slightly different field, but other than that, the rest of it is identical. Okay, now, enable web admin access.
Yes.
Leave that alone. You do not want that one off or you're in trouble.
Admin password,
although it's truncated, so let me see how they're spelling everything here.
A-D-M-I-N.
That's correct.
P-A-S-S-W-D.
So you see they've got the word password truncated a little bit there. So you want to look for that. Put your choice of password in that field. Now, user password, they didn't trunk password in that one. They didn't truncate that one. User password and put a password in that field. In my case, I just put the same password in both fields, okay? And then just hit return or go down and click submit changes, and your password will go in. Then you'll have to go through the motion of typing your password into your browser every time you want in. But it's better to have a password there in addition to, turning on and off the web interface. Now, one thing I want to mention to you about a password in this thing. Once you enter a password in your Sapura adapter, you'll have to know how to enter that password via the telephone keypad. So you better think about what you want to put in there as a password in advance. If you're not real good with the letters on a telephone, you may want to put in an all numbers password. But if you can pick apart letters on the telephone, that's fine. You can dial in all letters and make the password work via the telephone if you decide you want to enable or disable the web interface through the telephone. Because see what's going to happen. There's some things like getting the device's IP address. Yes?
It's John Willett.
Okay. There's some things that you will need to... Hang on just a second. Some things you'll need to use the password field for and other ones you won't. Now, hang on here. I got to get down here and pause because I have a telephone call. Let me get in here and I'll pause this and we will be back momentarily. Oh, hush. Okay, and unfortunately had an important phone call there that I had to take. You know, sometimes when people are on the run and they call you on their mobile phones, you have to take them when they can get to you. And so that was my friend Tom up in Kansas City, a gentleman by the name of Tom Willett. He is my Mac tech support guy when I run into troubles, and that's usually very rare. So when I talk to him, there's definitely a real problem, and we've had a few minor bugaboos that I wanted to get some answers on. So if I get them from him, I'll share them with you Mac users out there that listen to the podcast. So anyway, that is the deal as far as that goes. So anyway, I think we pretty much talked about the password settings in the Sapura telephone adapter's web interface. So you enter an administrative password and a user password, save the changes, and you're set. So, which was the last thing I wanted to give you on that. And so that pretty much completes the basic setup. If you want to know any finer parameters of the Sapura telephone adapter after you digest all of this, I will be glad to give them to you. And you might want to take the basic parameters that I talked about. Once you familiarize yourself with the web interface, you might want to write them down in a quick cheat sheet so that you don't have to peruse through this entire file. And that way you will be able to set one of these up lickety-split. Now, I'm a blind person myself, and if I can do it, I know you can. The biggest thing that you got to do is get yourself familiarized with what the parameters of VoiceOver IP are, I encourage you to go to the different VoiceOver IP forums, such as Broadband Reports. You can go to Voxalot. You can go to Free World Dial-Up, www.freeworlddialup.com. Voxalot.com has a users forum. And as I stated, Broadband Reports. And there should be some links eventually over to the Voxilla forum. They have a Sapura users group forum over there. You'll find, in fact, if you just do a search in a Google search engine or one of your favorite search engines and type in Sapura, S-I-P-U-R-A, users group, you should come up with something, and you can read what others are doing with their adapters and get little tips and tricks on what you can do, including dial plans and various setups and that kind of thing. And you can go from there. So that should help you. Okay. So anyway, I hope this has been a great help to at least whet your appetite. If it seems daunting at first, it was to me. It's taken me quite a while to learn one of these adapters, but let me explain to you the benefits. When you use your computer with software, you have to be at your computer. In most cases, there's no way, at least that I know of, to add a cordless phone if you decide you want to be accessible to your VoIP calls as well as your regular public switch telephone calls. The Sapura allows you to connect in a cordless phone. Any device that works on any standard telephone line will work with a Sapura series telephone adapter. And it allows you the freedom of being anywhere in your house and answer your voice over IP calls with the same methods that you would use to answer your regular telephone calls. Now, if you are blessed to have a cordless phone, for example, that has two lines, some cordless phones come equipped with two line ports, you could plug your Sapura's telephone line port into one line of your cordless phone, and your public telephone switch can be in the line one, and you can have all your VoIP calls on line two and your Sapura and your public switch calls on line one. So you would plug your Sapura telephone adapter into line two, and you would plug your public switch regular telephone number into line one, and you would have both of these at your disposal on your cordless telephone. So as you can see, there's all kinds of reasons for these little adapters. And that's certainly why I am a big fan of them, because I've got Skype here. I can use Skype, but I found that when I use it, at least here on my machine, it pulls some of the processor time away from it. And also at the same time, I have to be sitting here with the microphone and everything all set on the board, ready to accept calls so I can answer a person without talking into a blank line or without a person listening to a blank line, rather. And then on top of that, I have to be at the computer, which I'm not always at my computer. I've tried Skype on my laptop, but I don't know about you guys, but when it's about 97, 98 degrees, your laptop generating heat in your lap is the last place you want to be. And also, you might not want to put that much labor on a laptop, particularly if the environment is not air conditioned. You may not want to put that much labor on your laptop because of the fact that laptops have trouble cooling themselves anyway. And anything that pulls any processor time is going to cause that thing to warm up and the cooling fan to come on eventually to some extent. And how well it cools itself depends on the ambient temperature in the room. So I wish that you could use these devices with Skype, but Skype is totally proprietary. You cannot use anything other than the devices they allocate, as opposed to an open source network such as Voxalot or Free World Dial-Up or perhaps a few other service providers out there that allow you to bring your own device. So anyway, that's the pluses and the minuses. Advantages to Skype over something like these other deals, such as the playing around with these Sapura adapters and the Free World Dial-Ups and Voxalot and all that, is that if all you want to do is talk, then Skype is your preferred deal, or downloading Pulver Communicator from the Free World Dial-Up website and putting it on your computer is the preferred way to go. And then there's only minimal setup. So the choice is yours. It's nice that we have all these choices out here. I've always been the kind of guy, ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I played around in electronics, I played around with just about everything. I've always been a kind of a guy that wants to know how things work. And so as we enter into this age of technology, the whole issue of experimenting with voice over IP is yet still another area in which I like to explore. So for me, learning how things work is of the utmost importance when it comes to this stuff. Even when I was growing up, I always wanted to know how the telephone public switch worked. I used to be, in fact, I was one of these kind of guys that some people would have referred to when I was growing up as a phone freak kind of guy. Not that I necessarily wanted to do anything to harm anybody, but I just was interested in how the telephone switch all fit together, how the lines intertied with each other and how the trunk lines intertied with the local telephone switch in my area, and what methods they used to send the telephone numbers and the calls out over the national telephone switching network, and just all kinds of stuff like that. So I've always been a person that wanted to know how things work, and this is no exception. And voice over IP promises to be a playground every bit as much interesting as the stuff we grew up with. Now, let me just leave you with this. The dial plan that I was talking about earlier, we were talking about dial plans. I have a dial plan that allows me to access several services, my main service being Free World Dial-Up, which I have in the proxy settings. But if you want to access some other stuff, you can actually put other service providers in your dial plan so that calls are routed through those service providers. For example, if I want to make an 800 call, I have got my adapter set up in the dial plan to route all 800 calls and all calls beginning with star, with the star key, through a service called SIP Broker. That is a service that a lot of other service providers and would-be individuals are using to interconnect with each other. Now, we're not going to get in heavily into SIP Broker and all of that, but what we're going to do is we're going to demonstrate what can be done with SIP Broker. All right, now, let's enter one of the lines here, the studio line. Whoops, dial tone timed out. And we're going to dial a few things here before we close out this report. Free World Dial-Up has their usual numbers. Here's the number check.
Phone number is 671208.
Okay, that's number check. Now, echo test for Free World is 613. The number check, by the way, was 958. This is 958 pound. This is 613 pound.
We're about to start an echo test. Everything you say will be repeated back to you just as soon as it's received. The purpose of this test is to give you audible sense of the latency or delay between you and this network, which is running the echo test. You may end this test by hanging up or pressing the pound key.
Okay, this is the echo test. Testing.
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 Okay, now.
Okay, now.
Let me hang this up. And now we're going to access everything beginning with star, which I have set up to go through SIP Broker. Now let's access the time check over in Ireland, for example, which is on this service.
The current time is Monday, July 31st, 2006, at 8:33 p.m.
Yeah, they're quite a bit later than we are. It's just after about 1 or 2. I don't have an exact time check because I'm down here and I'm not near a clock. But anyway, it's early afternoon here and it's in the evening out there. Now, if you hit, and that was under SIP Broker with that dial plan, I hit star 263. 2603 is what it was. Here's 2605 pound. Come on, give it to me. Maybe it's not working. Let's try it again. There it is, Irish music. They have up there some sort of music anyway. I think it's got a little bit of Irish, but it comes from Ireland anyway, that particular. I haven't called it in a while. It's 266-305. I'm sorry, I said 26305. 266-305 is what it is to get that. The time check was 266-303 a while ago that we used. Now let's try this. Is their echo test.
You are about to enter an echo test. In this mode, everything you say will be repeated back to you just as soon as it is received. The purpose of this test is to give you an audible sense of the latency between you and the machine that is running the echo test application. You may end the test by hanging up or pressing the pound key.
Okay, this is the echo test going over to Ireland and back to me. Testing. And you can see the latency is a little longer. Going out that way just slightly. Testing. So what you're hearing is the time it takes for me to talk into this microphone and the time that it takes for my voice to come back to me. Testing. Okay. Now here's a funny one. This one is a strange monkey sound recording they have up there. I don't know why it's there other than I guess it's a test. *266300.
They have been carried away by monkeys.
I don't know if it's real or not, but anyway, that's that. That's up there. And there's also conferences you can get into. Let's do one here. I have one of them in speed dial. Let's see if it goes through. It should, if it works right here. They may be down. Remember, you're going overseas for some of this, so you know you don't know what state everything is in when you go to try to make the calls. There it is.
You are the first participant in this conference room. Please wait for other participants to join your call.
This is what you get. These are conference rooms. I'm not sure where they are, but they're there. Got frogs and brook and jungle sounds in here. Thunderstorm in this jungle environment they were recording in. And there's the rain. Okay, enough of that. So as you can see, there's tons of weird stuff you can call. And that's only, I'm only scratching the surface. There's a whole complete list of these numbers, these weird phone numbers up on sipbroker.com. That's www.sipbroker.com. too numerous to get into here, but that's just a sampling of some of the things you can access there. That was an unused conference. I set up a conference using my own phone number, so I could have my own private one in there. I just stuck it in there just for the heck of it. I'll probably never use it, but they're free and they're there. And there's also another conference up there that you can get into discussions regarding voice over IP and different things like that up there. There's tons of stuff up there. There's over 500 different things you can play around with on SIP Broker. And like I say, you got to have the correct dial plan to make that work. And maybe in another part two, we'll do the syntax of how dial plans actually work. But for now, this will get you started with what we were doing before, get you at least started up on Free World. And I hope that this report has been informative. Sometimes it's hard to get to everything you want to get to, but I hope I've done this in a way that you have somewhat of an understanding of what you're dealing with. And with that, we'll go ahead and close for now. And we will simply say, well, if this computer will shut up, we'll simply say blessings and happy voice over IP phone playing. Hope you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.